let's build you some capital so that you could buy a duplex, and then you could buy a four unit, and then you could buy a big or multiples, right? So that you can get cash flow and that you can escape the rat race and not feel like stuck in your job and in your life. And like, you're just checking a box, going to work, watching TV, doing the same over and over again. Like I want to make a better life for the people who choose to work. It still hits, I don't miss it. It's go, 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 like a go, go flow. And I'm almost known. And I told your soul when I throw these flows like a Rochambeau. And I ain't too close, it's Joe Smoke goes. And I'm on my grind, that is all the time. I do not do breaks, that's right, I stay in dry. And look, I'm back with a little bit of that. And a little more cash than I came in with. Ready, that cat is out that bad. But I still ask you, the boy got skills. I don't need her, I don't need him. I don't need help with me, I got this. I can sing songs, I can spit raps. And I can do both, even do this. Word.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the pioneers of the portable wood-burning sauna. Did you know that using the sauna 3 to 4 times per week could reduce your risk of cardiovascular disease by up to 50% and make you 60% less likely to experience Alzheimer's disease? That's why I've been a big fan of the sauna for years. But having to go to a crowded gym to do it isn't ideal. And all the at-home options are bulky and expensive. That's why I only use the Sweat Tent for my sauna needs. It's the most storable and affordable wood-burning sauna on the market. It not only takes minutes to set up, but it can reach 200 degrees Fahrenheit in 30 minutes or less. So whether you're enjoying it yourself in your backyard, with friends, or in need of a reliable sauna on the go, Sweat Tent is your best choice for the most portable, storable, and enjoyable outdoor sauna experience. All On The Stacks listeners will receive $100 off when you use code OTS. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code OTS at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code OTS. Sweat Tent, helping you fire up your home wellness routine. This episode is brought to you by Wilks Consulting, a Ramsey preferred coaching firm. Are you drowning in debt? Is the weight of financial stress holding you back from living the life you were meant to live? Then it's time to break free and regain control of your financial future. Wilks Consulting specializes in financial and debt consulting. Their team of 4 highly trained Ramsey Solutions advisors are ready to help you take charge of your money. Whether you're looking to get out of debt, pay off student loans, or simply need assistance on how to prepare to buy a home, Wilks Consulting can help you fine-tune your budget and provide the resources and guidance you need to meet your goals. Don't let debt or the fear of finances control your life any longer. Head over to wilcopa.com and book a hassle-free, no-obligation call. Your first step towards financial freedom. Again, that's wilcopa.com, wilcopa.com. Wilks Consulting, making financial independence a reality. This episode is brought to you by FitAF. If you haven't already noticed, I live and breathe entrepreneurship. Whether it's launching new ventures, attending pitch meetings, or mentoring budding entrepreneurs, my schedule is jam-packed. And that's where FitAF steps in. Their menu changes weekly, offering a variety of chef-inspired meals designed by nutrition experts using only the best quality ingredients, keeping me fueled and focused. Their vast selection of meals has you covered for all types of dietary restrictions and diet plans, including keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, gluten-free, and more. As an On The Stacks listener, enjoy our exclusive offer. Get 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more when you use code OTS at checkout at fitafnutrition.com. Again, that's code OTS for 20% off your first order of 7 meals or more at fitafnutrition.com. Healthy meals and seamless nutrition, keeping entrepreneurs at the top of their game. What's up, podcast? I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., your host of the On The Stacks podcast, brought to you by Sweat Tent. Josh Axe, welcome to the On The Stacks podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
Yeah, dude. I've been on this little bit of a kick of having on some former guests, as a part two, right? And primarily a lot who have been like you. You're an OG. You were on the Stacks before video.
So back when they were still Stacks, baby.
Back when there was still Stacks, yeah. Yes. Now they're, imaginary, for the people that know. If you know, you know. But yeah, man, I'm excited to have you back on because like I said, I feel like, we didn't do it. It was an injustice. No one got to actually see, really get to like see you.
True. Now they used my hands a lot and there was a lot of expressions with my hands.
I know. And everybody missed out on it. So
here we are.
Now they can make up for it. Yes, they can see these hands. We can see your drawing, your fish that you made before we started.
Yeah. And we can show that.
We show your fish here. Yeah. But yeah, man, this is exciting. What, you just got in, like, what, yesterday?
Sunday.
Yep. Yeah?
Yep. So
where are you at nowadays?
I live in Arizona, but I'm here at least once a month for about a week. So I guess a quarter of the year I spend here. Arizona's awesome. It's a beautiful place to live.
You've been out there for like a few years.
September will be 3 years.
Okay. Because it's been what we were saying right before we came on, when you were on the show, you were right before episode 94. Mm-hmm. And now like yours right now, this episode is slated to come out like somewhere maybe like around like 204 or something. So yeah. I mean, it was a long, crazy. Long time ago, dude.
It was.
Yeah. So crazy.
Way back before video and back in the old
Plus we're both way better looking. Like we actually like
fathers
or yeah, father,
you're a father
we,
now.
Yeah. 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 Fathers over, you know, times two and then
multiples.
Some,
yeah, I know.
You know, you actually have legit, NEPA cash offer there.
A team.
My God. Yeah.
Well, I think I had a team before, but grown.
But now you've got a much bigger team.
Yeah.
We're doing well.
Yeah. You know? And we thankfully get to help a lot of sellers out of situations, and we're happy to do it. You know, it's fun. We get to help people and make some money doing it, so it's a good time.
Yeah. Are you like an early morning guy or like a late night guy?
You know what's weird is like I've been really focused on growing the business. I would probably say in the last like 6 to 12 months, it's really been like, hey, I want to grow this big and like make a difference. And I can't attribute it to anything, but I just wake up like at 5 in the morning every day.
No alarm. You just roll out of bed.
Maybe it's like stress. I don't know. But like,
yeah,
you know, I wake up and like, you keep in mind too, that I'm on Arizona time, which right now is 3 hours different. So 8 a.m. Eastern is 5 a.m. Arizona.
Okay. So you're doing business. I start working
before my team does here. Sometimes they're working that early at mm-hmm. 8. It's not like intentional. Like I don't think to myself like, oh, I have to be working before them or whatever, but it's like, I just feel so committed to it and I really love doing it. And I've also like, I've kind of gotten out of the weeds of the business where I'm like dealing on a daily basis with talking to sellers or, you know, I'm just not doing that as much anymore.
You're not as much like boots on the ground, like doing everything.
Working on the business and building a real business. And I feel like that's just motivated me to do things differently. It's been fun. Like I'm really heavy on my systems and processes now and making sure that like we have a smooth process for a seller that they can follow and understand so that they feel like, wow, I'm really being taken care of. And like, I know what the next steps are with this. And we try to do that. Like, obviously things fall through the cracks sometimes, or, you know, a seller may misunderstand something, but we really try to make it like so seamless that, so anyways, all that to be said, like I have been waking up early, but I also like, I feel like I get my best work done at night. So I don't know. It's like,
it's a give and take.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was up till like 12:30 last night. And then I woke up at 6 this morning and I'm just like, I'm here to party. Let's go. Let's fire it up.
I often find sometimes too, at least with me, I don't know if this is with you, maybe other people can relate to this too. Like sometimes like if you're procrastinating a task, mm-hmm. like once I like jump into it, it's like the hardest part sometimes with anything is getting started. But once Absolutely. Like if I'm like motivated, like right then and there, like you said, like sometimes I find that night I'm doing like really good work. Right. Mm-hmm. And same with me, like it could be in the morning, it could be at night, but like once you start it and if you're like in that groove, then just keep going.
Yep.
Because like then you know you're going to get it done. Otherwise, Absolutely. Like you'll just keep procrastinating and just it'll just never get done.
And I find I can't stop until I've finished the task.
Same.
Like, for example, we were talking about bookkeeping earlier. Hate bookkeeping. One of my like worst things. But when I was doing my bookkeeping, I would like procrastinate it till the end of the year or like the first of the next year.
Same.
And my accountant's like, bro, get on this today.
Yeah, you're trying to figure out your taxes all in one day at the end 100%. Of the year. 100%. It's the worst.
But I'll just like put on my bookkeeping hat and I'll just grind through it miserably with a lot of coffee. But I'll get it done. God damn it. By come hell or high water.
Yeah.
You know, I get it done. And that's like the kind of task that I hate doing, but I procrastinate it and then I just start it and I'm like, I'm not stopping till I'm done. Cause if I stop doing it, I'm going to lose where I'm at. I'm going to try and convince myself I'll start it tomorrow, which I won't. I know that. So anyways, yeah, I, I have to just like dive into that task and get it fully done, or it stays undone for
a long time, a
couple more months.
Yeah. What was it for you like when you just a few minutes ago you said you went from working like in the business to working mm-hmm. on the business? Was there like a pivotal moment for you in with your business that you were able to make that jump and say, really, you know, I know you've had a team, but now you have a bigger team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what was that pivotal moment for you?
My first hire. Yeah. My first hire was really the difference. So I brought on Kyle, January 1st.
Shout out to Kyle, by the way. Yeah.
Kyle's a legend.
He is.
Really. I mean, I cannot say enough good things about Kyle. He'd be a cool person to bring on.
Bring him on.
He's like gregarious, charismatic, like just all around good dude. So loyal, trustworthy, like, love Kyle. Kyle, if you listen, I don't know if you will, but I love you, man.
Better be listening. Yeah, or he's not coming on.
Exactly.
This is your test, right?
He has to hear this and reach out.
That's right.
Perfect.
That's right. Leave a comment too, Kyle. Yeah. So we know that you're listening. So you heard that.
Yeah. So he was my first hire and I was terrified to bring him on. And I was terrified because I feel so much responsibility for my employees. And I really treat them like family. It's like, hey, if I'm going to bring you in, I want to make sure that I can take care of you, and not only take care of you, but I want you to thrive. And so at that point in my business, we're coming off of COVID, which was a tough year in real estate. Thankfully, I did all right. And I think I had done 18 flips or something like that, which was good considering how rough of a year it was. So I was sitting on some money and I had sold a couple flips. And like, I remember I had one that I sold and I think I made like $35,000 on the flip, which was pretty good. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep this money and I'm going to bring someone on. And at the time, Kyle had been working in car sales. And then he was like, I'm going to start doing life insurance. Because he's like, I hate selling cars. You know, like his sales manager, I had been there like 10 years. He's like, hey man, like, how'd you do last year? You know? And the guy's like, I had a really great year. He's like, nice dude. Like, if you don't mind my asking, what'd you make? You know? And he's like, oh, like $60,000. And Kyle's like, I am leaving tomorrow. Like, you've been here 10 years.
Yeah.
And a great year is $60,000. Like, I can't provide for my family with that. You know, like, damn, I can't do this. And in the meantime, like during this time, he had just gotten surgery on his knee and it's like December. So he's crutching around in winter with a broken knee selling cars.
That's
like
awful.
Out on the lot.
That's
oh yeah.
Awful.
Miserable. So, bringing Kyle on, I felt this huge responsibility that like, I need to have so much for Kyle to do that he's like drowning in leads and people to call and talk to and whatever. So basically I told him like, hey man, I'm going to commit to you for 3 months. Like if this doesn't work, you can still go and try life insurance. But before you do that, like that's a tough, tough business. I have leads. I want you to take this piece of the business where you're going to reach out to people and try and negotiate deals and get offers on properties. So, I brought him on and it took longer than 3 months for him to get real traction, but he was learning so fast and like really getting the hang of it that I saw his potential. And I think that's one of my like superpowers is I can see potential in people. And I really try to like bring it out of them in every way I can. And I think in some ways it can be detrimental and I could talk about that later, but with Kyle, like I knew that he had potential to be great in that role. And so I'm like, I will commit to you to keep doing this, but like, I see your potential. So like, I'll help you get there. And it's all within him. Like, I don't even think I was responsible for calling it out, but like, he just grew into that role because of the opportunity. And he's like the kind of person who's motivated to learn on his own, grow on his own, maverick personality, right? Like we talked about.
Yeah, we got to get into that in a minute.
We will. So, and I didn't know that back then, but, and I saw his loyalty too, and that was big for me. But then when I hired Kyle, I realized like, man, he's taking on, and my thought process was, even if he's 80% as good as I am, I just freed up 100% of my time, because, or even let's say it's 80% of my time, because I was still doing a lot of that outreach with sellers.
So were you essentially like, was he sort of like a replication of you?
Yeah. So he,
I think that's as a business owner, right? Mm-hmm. And I know you'll agree. That's probably the hardest thing to do.
Yeah.
Is to get over that hump of like replicating yourself, because as business owners, we all say all the time,
no one can do it as good as me.
Right. That. And then it's like, man, how, if I can only clone myself, mm-hmm. How many times have you said that? How many times have you heard other business owners say, how can I clone myself?
Yeah.
Right. Cause that's really where you start to scale your business.
Absolutely. Well, and that was like just one piece of the business. Cause the business has so many facets, right? Like, there's acquisitions, there's marketing, there's operations, there's selling the properties, there's project management on flips, there's finding new contracts. I mean, there's so many pieces in the real estate business. And like, you know, a contractor screws you over. Well, you just lost that $10,000 deposit to them. Now you got to go find another contractor. So like, there's things that people don't see in the business that are like, oh man, real estate's so cool and easy. Hell, and easy. Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody can do it.
Yeah. Millions overnight. You know, like
passive income.
Yeah. There's no such thing as passive income, at least in real estate. So when I hired Kyle though, I realized that, man, if he can fully take on like that acquisitions role of inbound leads, talking to them, negotiating, following up, handling that, it frees up a huge block of time for me to focus more on filling the funnel with leads and then better quality leads. And then prior to hiring him, I did hire a call center that would receive all of our inbound calls. And so we still have them. We've switched a couple times, but we have a good one now, decent at least. so that was like the turning point for me, because that was when I could step out of the weeds and start to like actually focus on, all right, how do I continue to grow this and get more leads for Kyle, more leads for the business overall, finding different contractors, more contractors, different lenders, you know, 'cause there's a lot of moving pieces in the business. And then one of the challenges with real estate, and real estate agents will also attest to this, is like, you focus really heavy for a month on lead acquisition. So you'll just hammer getting new leads, and then your pipeline gets full of all these leads. Well, then the leads turn into sales, and then you handle all the sales, and then it goes into like managing the closings. And then out of the closings, you get a bunch of money. But then after you get all the money, you're like, oh shit, now I need more leads. And so it was like this cycle that I was going through, where like one month I'd have a great month, and then it would be dry for 2 months, and then another great month, and then dry for 2 months. And so that was part of hiring Kyle, was like, I'm going to market every month, no matter what. And so it was just like, we got consistency in our marketing. We got consistency in the messaging. I got to focus on actually kind of trying to brand the business and build it up to be legitimate, you know, instead of like a fly by night kind of deal. We are legitimate, you know, like we do buy a lot of houses, and, you know, we have references, we have sellers that'll attest for us, and it's pretty cool. You know, like we've had people that are crying, thank you so much for buying our house. And that's what it's all about. You know, when you truly make a difference and solve their big problem, because like, if you don't know how to deal with it, it's so overwhelming. And so to be able to solve that problem and make some money doing it is like, biggest win ever.
Yeah. Let's talk about the personality thing. You were telling me before we came on, and I want to hear some more. So what's the personality thing you've been doing?
Yeah. So we just started implementing this thing called the predictive index. So it's basically like two or three questions. And it asks you to like describe, like, how would you describe yourself? How would someone else describe you? It might just be those two, but it's got like 100 check boxes on both of these questions, right? So then you go through and you check it, and then you hit submit, and then it sends me a thing that analyzes your personality based on those answers that you gave. So it essentially assigns you a personality type. It's kind of like, I guess, what a DISC profile would be, but this one's uses their own algorithm, I guess. But I've been using that, and it's pretty fascinating how like spot on it is, at least in the ones that I've done for me and then I've had done for other people. It's just like nail on the head. I'm like, how does it know this much about me from so little?
Yeah. You know? So what is it? What does it help you do?
Well, it helps with hiring and putting people in the right seats. So, I've had some challenges with hiring good people. And I think that's not necessarily, I've hired great people, but I've been, eager to put them into different roles because I have different needs at different times. So for example, I hired someone to be like an executive assistant prior to doing this, predictive index, testing thing. I hired someone to handle the bookkeeping and to help with like pulling lists together and kind of data entry type roles. And at the time I was having some challenges on the disposition side of the business where we, you know, after we've bought the property, then we try to sell the property. So she was handling that and wasn't doing super great at it. And so at that time I was like, geez, this is not going as well as I thought. And when I did the personality profile, I'm part of a mastermind and they tell you like for disposition manager roles, these are the five best personality index profiles for this role. She's not on that list at all. And so I'm like, shit, all right. Well, I knew that after a little while because that was our bog down. Like we weren't doing well in that department. So, basically just hired someone today actually, and, had them take the personality, you know, the predictive index and they're the collaborator role, which is the perfect role for that or the perfect profile for that role. And so I'm like, dang. All right. And I could tell on the call with them, man, they're going to fit this role perfect. They already knew the CRM that I use. They already knew the platforms that we use. So it was like, this is a no-brainer. And they fit the index perfectly. So that's been helpful. And then when I hired my most recent acquisition guy, I also had him take the test, another maverick. So like I'm a maverick, Kyle's a maverick, our guy Mike is a maverick. So we're just a bunch of mavericks out here.
Maverick one, Maverick two, Maverick three.
It's great. Yeah. But it's cool because it also shows you how to lead them effectively, what challenges they may have, and how as a manager of those types of personality profiles, how you can assist them in achieving success and what motivates them, which is cool too. Like, you know, like mavericks, for example, want to have autonomy. They want to have potential for high income. They don't want people to like nitpick them or manage them. They're not interested in details. And I'm like, that's me, bro. Like, holy crap. Yeah. And I'm like, I clicked a few check boxes and how does it know so much? You know, like the robots are
knows
coming.
Knows my whole life.
Yeah, the robots are coming, you know, help.
Yeah.
So it's pretty fascinating, you know, what technology is out there. So it's been really cool to play around with. And then like I have a property manager and she's fantastic, Courtney. So good at what she does. And I had her take it as well because I was considering her for the dispo role. And I kind of assumed that she wasn't a super sales-driven person. You know, the disposition role involves cold calling a lot of people, agents, whoever, to get deals sold. Because, you know, obviously when we buy a property, we have to sell it at some point to be able to make money. Because if we were just buying properties, that's money out. There's no money in, right? Except for our rentals, but that's a little different. So with Courtney, I had her take the test and she happens to be my property manager. And so her profile came back as controller. And controller is not good at like the, you know, cold call sales, aggressive sales, driven, hungry, make 1,000 calls a day kind of person. They're more of the like analytical attention to detail, black and white, follow the rules, get shit done, but with a structure and, you know, a attention to detail really matters. And that's Courtney to a T. And I'm like, this freaking thing's unstoppable, you know? And so she's so perfect for the property management role, to the point where I'm like, I want to grow a business with you in property management because you're so good. And I think she'll be wonderful at teaching other people and being a controller of others who have to abide by the rules and policies of a new company. So like, it gives you insight into your employees in a way that allows you to make decisions that are best suited for the people in your organization. So that's been really cool to like, I feel like a lot of people put CEO in their title, but no one's really a CEO. They're just self-employed, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, they don't have any employees. So who are they, you know, they're not a CEO. And so now having employees, and you understand, because you run a business, you have tons of people that are working with you and doing all this stuff. Like, if it's just you, you're the CEO of yourself, you know, come on. But I feel like the things that I'm doing now, like, is assuming that CEO role, but I still don't like to use it. Like, I just think it's kind of like, all right, good for you. You know, everyone wanted to be a CEO.
Yeah.
But it's not all fun. Like, you deal with bullshit all the time and everything goes uphill. If the business fails, it's on you. If your employees fail, it's on you. So anyways, by having the predictive index, it makes me feel like, wow, I kind of am like a CEO. Like, I'm using tools to truly understand how employees and the team operate on an internal level, so that as an external force in their life, I can help them achieve greater things by understanding who they are at the core. So it's a really cool tool.
Do you feel like prior to this, you weren't like maybe doing a good enough job at that? Like really trying to like understand, help your team excel?
No, I absolutely was, but it gives you the insight to really understand their motivating pieces. Like, I don't want Courtney to feel like I bash on her, but like, we had a maintenance guy who for some reason just couldn't stand Courtney. And I think it was his problem, not really hers, but also there's always responsibility on both sides. And so I think people who are working with Courtney could feel like she's too black and white, but she has a job that needs to be done that I've given her. And so one of the like managerial tips for the role that, or the profile that she has, that controller, is may need help in understanding like interpersonal connections or something to that effect. I don't remember the exact verbiage, but it talks about like may need training in talking to people without them feeling talked to. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, yeah, they need to be talked with.
Yeah.
And so it was basically saying that that controller type personality, it may rub people the wrong way. So as a manager, to help train them into being that better role. And we had talks about this prior, you know, and she's learned a ton and she's fantastic at it now. So like, Courtney, if you're listening, don't feel that I'm bashing you, because you're amazing.
Shout out to Courtney.
Courtney's the best. She really is. She's like so on the ball and saves my life every week. So you're the best. I'm super grateful, man. I get to work with such cool people and I have so much respect for them. Cause they're great.
Yeah.
You know? Like, they learn well and they do great things. And so I just feel super blessed that I have a team that's so good. It's fun.
Yeah. You
know? Like, and I think they're grateful to have me as their leader. And I don't take that lightly, you know, like, I want my whole team to succeed and make all the money in the world, you know?
Yeah. What has real estate, you know, done for you since you've gotten into it? Obviously it's probably taken you a lot of different directions in your mm-hmm. life. Right. But what has real estate enabled you to do?
I think freedom is kind of the thing. Like, I think a lot of people, money's really a tool to me. I'm not motivated by money, but money buys freedom. And I think I'm motivated mostly by freedom. Like, if there's something I want to do, I want to be able to go and do it. I don't think we were put on the earth to just like go to a job, go home, watch TV, go to work, come home, watch TV, and over and over and over again. I did not sign up for that, and I'm not going to sign up for that. So like, it took me a lot of grinding and a lot of learning for like 4 years to figure out real estate investing to where I'm like, okay, I think I'm good enough to be dangerous. You know, like I don't know it all, but I know enough to kind of take a bet on myself. And so on the last podcast, I told the story about like the 35 unit, but you know, we got really, I hate to say lucky because I think knowledge plus opportunity looks like luck.
Yeah, it's not. You can just create it though.
For sure. Yeah. And I really believe that like, if you prepare yourself and you learn and you watch for opportunities, you will find them. And so, you know, real estate has given me the opportunity to have a lot of freedoms in my life. and also, it allows you to deal with hard things. You know, a year and a half ago, my wife, we have twin girls. Prior to them being born, they had a condition called TTTS, which is twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome. Essentially, on the placenta, you know, you have both babies' umbilical cords connect. Well, on the placenta, their blood vessels grow together. And that's pretty common, but with TTTS, there's an imbalance of blood flow. So one baby will get too much blood, and the blood is where they get all their nutrients, right? So that's where they get all the nutrients from mom. You know, that's where all the waste goes through, everything, right? So one amniotic sac will get really big, the other one gets really small. The one will have overused heart, overused kidneys, so they can go into kidney failure, heart failure, developmental issues. Then the one who gets too little, their kidneys don't develop properly, they're getting malnourished. This is all happening in the womb. And so it was a super tough time because one, I'm trying to operate my business. Two, we have this potentially life-threatening thing for twin girls and my wife. Plus we have a two-year-old, you know, so we're like dealing with all of this. And I have a team that just was helping through all of it. And obviously I kept enough things happening to where they were still getting the deals they needed and doing all the business they needed. And then when, like, so December 2022, we had to get twice a week ultrasounds during that period because she had been diagnosed, but it was still like stage 3 or maybe a stage 2. Stage 5 is death, by the way. So okay. Like, you know, there's stages matter. Stage 4 is like, there's going to be developmental issues, emergent, got to get it fixed. So we're in stage 2. Maybe it was stage 3. I don't remember.
Is it controllable? Like, how does this work?
Well, yeah, so I'll get into that. So we were going to the MFM, maternal fetal medicine, twice a week for ultrasounds to monitor the condition to make sure it wasn't getting worse. So basically things are fine. And then like December 21st, 22nd, we go in for an ultrasound. We had, and this was a Thursday, I think. So we had gone in on Monday, everything's fine. We go in on Thursday and you know, the cool thing about real estate, I get to be there, right? Like it gives you some time freedom, which is awesome because you can work in between. I can have a team that's helping do a lot of stuff. So we're there on a Thursday and then, the ultrasound tech is like, all right, yeah, excuse me, I'll be back in a minute, whatever. And the doctor comes in. She's like, hey, just want to let you know, we've scheduled surgery at Colorado Children's Hospital tomorrow at 8:30. We need you to get there. It's developed to stage 4. So like, make arrangements, basically.
What surgery?
So I'll tell you. So we load up our car. We go pick up. I got to keep you on your toes.
Okay, all right. Yeah, you got to be on the edge. Keep everybody in suspense here.
Yeah. So this doctor has friends at Colorado Children's, which they're one of the leading like hospitals to do this twin-to-twin transfusion corrective surgery. So we load up our – oh, and by the way, this was when Colorado had the coldest cold snap in like 40 years.
And you're
so,
there.
Yeah. So like 1,000 flights were grounded. So we couldn't even fly there from Phoenix. And it's like a 15-hour drive. So we're like looking at flights, can't find anything because they're all canceled. I'm like, freak, we got to get there. So my wife and I pick up our daughter. We go and get some like breakfast burritos, load up the car. And it's 3 days before Christmas. So we load up some Christmas presents, right? We have all these Christmas plans, the whole deal. Load up our car and then bomb it to Colorado, Denver.
We drove
Jeez. Straight through 14 and a half hours. Sheesh. Like 17 energy drinks, multiple pee stops. We got a 2-year-old in the back. Yeah. We like loaded up the iPad because like, dude, bless her soul. She was like a saint for the whole thing. Wasn't fussy, like just incredible. So we make it to Colorado at like 2 a.m. Surgery scheduled for 8:30. So we sleep as much as we can. We're terrified, freaked out. Thankfully, Lauren, my wife, has family there. Shout out to Blaine and Laura, if you ever listen to this. You guys are awesome. So we stayed with them. They opened their house to us. So awesome. Crash, wake up. Oh, and we're in, like, a few months before this, I just had this feeling like I needed to trade in my car. I had this little BMW M340, super sporty, fun little car. Traded in for like a Yukon XL, right? And the M340 is like rear wheel drive, perfect for Arizona, right?
Yeah, not good for Colorado.
Yeah, no. So we're in the coldest spell in 40 years. And the way that Google Maps takes us is through Pagosa Springs, which is through Wolf Creek Pass, which sounds terrible because it is. It's like steep as shit, dude. And we're in this, and like Lauren's asleep, Scarlett's asleep, and I'm terrified, jacked up on energy drinks at like midnight. Dude, there's cars and tow trucks pulling people out of the ditches.
Oh my God.
And I'm like mobbing because we got to get there, dude. Yeah. Like there's no other option. We didn't slide a single time. Like, dude, God was with us. Just like, we're going to get you there, bud. Like, you're good. So we make it. We go and we do the surgery. So basically with the surgery, it's laparoscopic. So they have this little like pencil sized thing that has a laser, a camera, a flashlight, and a suction ability because one of the things is the one sac gets too big. So they poke in like through, like basically under her ribs, I think, or like through the ribs, like on her side somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they basically go in and it's two surgeons. So the first surgeon will map all of the blood vessels that connect on the surface of the placenta that they can see. The second one will go through, see if they call out all the same ones. And then they get a plan. They say, all right, we're going to burn those 12. And so that's what they did. So it's like a 45-minute surgery. They go in. They drain like, I think they drained like 1.5 gallons of fluid. So like my wife's stomach was like huge, right? Twins. So then they do the thing and it like
shrunk.
Yeah. And I think she like lost like 6 pounds or so. Cause it's like fluid weighs so much, you know? Yeah. So like crazy. And so then basically from that point forward, she was on bed rest and, so she couldn't work. And so, you know, to get the long answer back to your question. Oh, and then on March 6th, my wife goes into labor. So this is a few months later. Oh, sorry. I have to tell you the like scariest part of this story. So after we get the surgery, the doctor comes in after like Lauren, you know, cause she's awake the whole time. Like they just numb that section and they do all of that while she's awake. She's like talking to him like,
oh my God.
Wild, right? Modern medicine's fascinating. But the doctor comes in and this is the 23rd of December at this point. And he's like, all right, now we just hope for 2 heartbeats in the morning. And we're like, I kind of thought this was like a done deal. Like, hope for 2 heartbeats. And he's like, well, yeah, we don't know. Like, we burned the blood connections between them, but we don't know how vital the blood connections were. Like, if that's the only blood source, there's, you know, potential for one or both to die. So we're like, Jesus Christ, like, this is fucking brutal. So then fast forward a few months, March 6th, day before her anniversary, my wife's mucus plug comes out, maybe TMI for the listeners there, but it's one way of saying your water breaks, basically, right? So we go to the hospital and they're like, oh, you guys are good. Like, we're going to give her magnesium. We're going to give her all this stuff to stop contractions. Like, she'll be here for at least 2 weeks, right? Cool. And like, if you've ever been in a delivery room, where do they make you sit? The most uncomfortable chair in existence. And they're like, try to sleep here, sir.
Good luck.
They don't even bring you a pillow, you know? Like, so I'm like miserable and we're sitting there, you know, and she's like, can tell that I'm so miserable. And she's like, do you want to go home? You know? And I'm like, well, I'm here. Like, I'm here for the long haul. And she's like, they're not coming for a while. Like, they're pretty clear on that. They're giving me all this like magnesium, whatever. So like, you're good. Like, and I'm like, all right, well, I'll go home. I'll sleep. I'll grab Scarlett, our other daughter, in the morning, bring her here and we'll hang out with you. Which the next day was our anniversary, right? So my wife calls me at like 4:50 in the morning, right? And my daughter, we had dropped her off at my in-laws, who also live in Arizona, which is nice because they can help out and they do a ton. So she calls, she's like, the babies are coming right now. And I'm like, all right, I'm on my way, right? So I jump in my car. I was doing like 90 in a 45, maybe.
Allegedly.
Some would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get there in like 10, 15 minutes. And I'm like it's like in a movie, you know, like where the guy runs in half asleep, like shirts probably yeah. half off kind of deal. And I'm just like running through the hospital, like, where is she? Where is she? I swear to God, dude, it's like 5 a.m. Like, so we get there and she's already back because it's emergency C-section, right? So they don't even let me in. I probably could have drove slower, but I was determined to get there to make sure I didn't miss it, right? I already felt bad for going home. So this was like, if my kids are born and I'm not there, I'm never going to live this shit down,
right,
dude.
Right.
So I get there and they bring me in and then like, dude, C-sections are crazy because they just like, once you're both in there and they're ready to go, she's prepped. It's like, whoosh, they cut her open, pull a baby, hand the baby, whoosh, grab the other baby, close her up. Like 15 minutes, dude. It seems like it's so fast. And she's like, I think my wife said to me, like, why'd you leave? Like, because like when the baby's born, they're like, sir, come over here and cut the thing, you know, whatever. And she's like, why'd you leave? I'm like, because they had me cut the umbilical cord. She's like, they're not done yet. And I'm like, babe, both babies are out. I've seen them, you know, like I seen them with my own eyes.
Yeah.
And so like she was pretty numb, you know, whatever. So anyways, they were born, super grateful. They were both okay. My one daughter had an amniotic band. So part of the amniotic sac can like wrap around a joint or whatever. And you can't tell in an ultrasound. There's no way you would know, at least to my knowledge. And her foot, her left foot, was like really swollen. And thankfully we had the emergency C-section, because if not, it restricts blood flow. It's like, you know, when you were a kid and you tied a thing around your finger and
like an idiot. Turn red and purple. Yeah.
But it's like that for like weeks or months.
Oof.
So eventually lack of circulation equals death of the limb or the digit or whatever it is. So her foot was like really swollen, and actually she still has a mark where it was around her ankle, right? So thankfully she was born early, but they came, I think it was 31 weeks. So very premature. They're also tiny because they're twins. So they're in the NICU for like 7 weeks. So real estate gave me the opportunity to be there, to be present, to like participate really in some heavy, heavy stuff. And to also know that like financially I'll be all right. And that's freedom. That's important, you know, and to like know that I can still take care of my daughter. She can still be in daycare the whole time. my wife doesn't have to work, but she chooses to work. That's freedom. And that's what drives me, you know, like being able to achieve freedom and then also help members of my team achieve freedom. Like Kyle has since bought a 3-unit. He just recently bought a home in the town he wants, the kind of house he wants, with the amount of space he wants. Like to be able to provide that to a teammate is huge, dude. You know, and like we always bust each other because we're just like that, you know, we always talk shit to each other all the time. But like when we do say something like meaningful, it really hits. And you know, Kyle said to me one day, he's like, hey man, I wanted to thank you because through employing me, you gave me the opportunity to buy this house. So like, thank you so much. Like it's because of you and working for you that I was able to buy this.
On the Stacks will be back in a flash after a word from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Elevation Wellness, NEPA's premier wellness center located on Mundy Street in Wilkes-Barre. From pro athletes to busy parents, Elevation Wellness is leading the conversation when it comes to bettering your health through integrative medicine. Founded by NEPA native Louis Helmecki, Elevation Wellness offers physician-formulated and guided treatments that are administered by registered nurses. To learn more about how you can experience the benefits of IV vitamin therapy, multivitamin booster shots, non-invasive aesthetics, or peptide, NAD, red light, and compression therapy, visit elevation-wellness.com or follow them on Instagram at elevationwellnessNEPA. All On The Stacks listeners will receive 10% off their first purchase with code STACKS at checkout. Call 570-762-9400 or visit elevation-wellness.com to book your appointment today. Elevation Wellness, taking your health to new heights.
A lot of times when people are in car accidents, kind of forget what we should do. First and foremost, call 911. Then, get out of your car before moving it and take pictures. It's so important to capture what the cars look like immediately following the accident. Finally, call your insurance carrier and make a claim.
To learn more, visit Anzalone Law Offices online at anzalonelaw.com. This episode is brought to you by Loop Internet. Are you tired of buffering, lagging, and slow internet speeds? Look no further. Introducing Loop Internet, Northeastern Pennsylvania's fastest and most reliable internet service provider. With Loop Internet, you can stream, game, and work from home seamlessly. Say goodbye to interruptions and hello to lightning-fast connections. Loop Internet offers both residential and business fiber. Fast-track the future with their 10-gigabyte fiber and join the Loop Internet family today. Visit Loop Internet online at loopinternet.com or call 1-888-808-5667. Again, that's 1-888-808-5667 or visit them online at loopinternet.com. Loop Internet, where speed meets reliability. This episode is brought to you by Burn, the fitness company behind the Today Show approved Burn Board. If I'm being honest, working out can be a real chore, especially as a new dad in desperate need of sleep and cardio. Burn is founded by NEPA native Jimmy T. Martin, and his Burn Board offers a low impact core and cardio experience unlike anything I've done before. They have hundreds of on-demand workouts that are great for beginners, seasoned athletes, and out-of-shape podcast hosts who love supporting small businesses. My wife and I use it pretty frequently throughout the week, and it's honestly a great way to burn a ton of calories without burning a ton of cash. Not to mention, it's a great tool for skiers, runners, wrestlers, and hockey players. Jimmy is offering all On The Stacks listeners 15% off when they use the code STACKS15. Visit theburn.com today to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15 at checkout. Again, that's theburn, THEBRRN.com to get 15% off your purchase with code STACKS15. It's time to get on board today with Burn. And now we're back on the Stacks.
And it's like you just feel like crying, dude.
There's nothing better than that.
Oh my God.
Right?
And like, I never bring it up because like, I'm not going to bust his balls on something like that because it like really means a lot to me to be able to provide that to him. And like, that's my goal with my employees is like, I don't want you to come and just get a paycheck. Like, I want you to have an opportunity to invest in real estate alongside me. Like, you should like, let's build you some capital so that you could buy a duplex and then you could buy a 4-unit and then you could buy a big or multiples, right? So that you can get cash flow and that you can escape the rat race and not feel like stuck in your job and in your life. And like, you're just checking a box, going to work, watching TV, doing the same shit over and over again. Like I want to make a better life for the people who choose to work for me.
Yeah. I think that's so important. I think more now, so more than ever.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like, I mean, I guess with just with technology and everything, like, changing and advancing, and I guess just the way the world too, like post COVID with work from home, and just there's, I don't want to beat a dead horse here, but like we're in like a whole new world now, like post COVID, you know, and the opportunity I think to be able to, just like you said, just achieve freedom and build the life you want, like it's so possible, you know, like it's very possible, whether it's working for somebody like you or just doing something like I'm doing, or I mean really anything. And I think kind of going back to just like when you talk about like training people and teaching people and all that, like I kind of like think back to like the education system. Like the education system is built, I think, just to create workers. It's literally, I was just watching something yesterday. I don't know where the hell it was. I don't know if it was on Instagram or something, but I was watching something somewhere, and it was just a real short thing. I forget what it was. It might have just been like a clip or something. But like it just proves how like they condition you, like literally like school is just, they just condition you to follow the rules, stay within a box. When the bell rings, you do this. When this happens, you do that, and then go get a job. Go to college.
Yeah.
Then go get a job.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, I don't know. I mean, I still believe in college to a degree. It depends on what it's for. Right. But at the same time, there's just so much opportunity. And I think, for a lot of people, I don't want to say we've been lied to, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe like misled or misinformed.
For sure.
You know, and I think...
We were sold goods that weren't what we thought they were.
Yeah, right, exactly. And I think, education is important, 100%. I don't care what level of education, like all levels of education I think are important. And that's obviously what helps you then, think outside the box and go do something different, right?
I think it helps open doors.
Yes. Yeah.
Like an MBA, you're not going to be even considered for certain jobs unless you have an MBA.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
But an interesting point on that is, have you ever read Titan, the book about Rockefeller?
No.
So towards the end of his life, it's a fantastic, I listen to books. So when I say read.
Me too. I'm the same way. Yeah.
It's a long one. It's like 36 hours or something. I've listened to it twice because it's so fascinating.
Okay.
A dynamic, ruthless, like I'm never going to be that ruthless, but it's cool to listen to. It's like a TV show where like you kind of root for the villain sometimes.
Yeah, right.
He standardized business practices in America and really was one of the like founders of American industrialism, which you can be for or against that. But part of his influence in America is what made the United States a powerhouse of the world. And one of the things that it talks about in his book is I think he either created or I know he massively, massively donated to the GEB, General Education Board, which standardized public school.
Interesting.
And who wants workers? A titan of industry. So something to think about.
Yeah. Wow. I gotta read.
Or it's a fantastic book.
Listen.
Fantastic.
I'm a listener too as well.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. He has really cool stuff. And also he would like, we don't have to get off topic, but he's a cool guy.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely going to check that out. All right. So the real estate, like what is, by the way, I love how it says we actually buy houses on your sweater.
Well, I mean, I always kind of coined that phrase because I feel like there's a lot of fly by night pretenders.
We buy houses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the industry. And to be completely honest, when I like first sent out my first batch of mail, I had just refinanced the 35 unit building that I had talked about on the first one. So I actually had like $200,000 in cash in my bank account. And so I never pitched to someone like, I'll buy your house cash, because I didn't have it. But then once I did, dude, I'd walk into a house and I'm like, no, ma'am, I will buy your house. Like, this is my bank account. Like, I have the cash right now. If you really want to sell, I'm the guy to buy it. Because so many times people would go and write an offer. They wouldn't fulfill the obligations of the offer. They'd back out, whatever. And so I felt like I need to have on my logo, like, we actually buy houses. We actually solve problems. We actually do what we set out to do. So I don't know.
You get shit done.
Yeah.
GSD.
Yeah, all day.
Yeah, that's going to be my next t-shirt, by the way.
Oh, perfect. Please send me one.
Yes, yeah. I 100%. When I get those made, I haven't decided, like, you know, on design yet, but that's, like, I feel like that's my next.
With all the stuff you've designed, I'm sure it'll be great.
Yeah.
And you have an eye for that.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'll be hooking you up with one. Don't worry.
Yeah. Can't wait.
So what exactly is it that you do? Like, explain wholesaling.
Yeah, I mean, we do some wholesaling. My preference is to flip, but we do some wholesaling. Basically, we get the property under contract and we have partners that we work with where we'll essentially bring them in on the deal. And so essentially it's like a profit sharing agreement with an end buyer where we say, hey, Mr. Buyer, we have this property. Would you be interested in it at whatever price? They say yes, and then we facilitate the transaction to closing, make sure the seller's taken care of, the buyer gets a property at a discounted price, and then we get a fee for the assignment of that contract.
So essentially, like, you're taking a property, right? Mm-hmm. That's like maybe like in duress, is that right?
Yeah, a lot of the properties we buy do have some challenges.
And like, what's that? Like, who is a perfect buyer, or I mean a perfect seller to you?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to quantify that because, you know, a perfect seller is someone, obviously, is a for-profit business, someone who needs to sell and needs to sell fast. They're going to need a lower offer to fulfill their needs. That's our typical seller. Like, a realtor isn't going to bring us a property that's on the market for $200,000 that's been sitting on the market for 90 days and say, hey, Josh, I know you buy houses cash. Will you pay $200,000 for this property? It's like, how do you propose that I'm supposed to make money on this property?
Right.
So we have to buy a property and we use a calculation to figure it out. It's essentially like, you know, 60 to 70% of the after repair value, less any repairs.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. So, and then obviously we factor in some profit on that. Right. So, that allows us to get the property under contract, rehab the property, and then either sell the property or refinance and pull out the cash that we've put into the property. So, like, the BRRRR strategy. We like flipping too. I mean, flipping is more fun because you get in there and you get to figure out these cool, you know, make houses cool and bring them back to life.
Make houses cool again.
Yeah. No, I mean, and,
you know, it reminded me of what you said, and you probably remember saying this, but in your episode, the last episode that you're on, you said, I went from rehabbing myself to rehabbing houses.
I
know.
I thought about that the other day, actually.
Dude, I think about that. I don't know why. I mean, I think, just because your episode was just your episode, your story is very impactful. So if anyone, you know, if anyone listening right now can't understand, we've said it a few times already that Josh was on the podcast before, episode 94, and you can really learn and hear about Josh's entire journey, which is a hell of a comeback story, which I love, by the way. But yeah, so go listen to that one if you want to get a little more background on Josh. But when you said that, man, like, that was just, I don't know what it was, but that just, like, stuck in my head. Yeah, and anytime anyone ever asks me, like, hey, like, what is your show about? And, like, or, hey, like, because everybody says, like, hey, what's your favorite, who's your favorite guest? And I always say, listen, I don't have a favorite guest, like, picking a favorite child, right? I said, however, you know, somebody would be like, oh, well, hey, recommend me one. I'm like, well, it depends on what you're into. Because I always say, my show, like, not every episode is for everybody, right? There's, I've had the gamut of guests, as you know, absolutely. Right?
Which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But you like, but yours yeah. is, but I think yours though too, like yours has been one that I've always recommended, by the way.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. As like, you know, I'll usually pick like five or something like that. And yours has been one of the ones that time and time again, it's been on the top list of recommended, like to people just to get a feel for, plus it's a hell of a story. Right. Thanks, but man. Yeah, that's I awesome. I don't know why,
but we both teared up on that.
Oh yeah, we did. Yeah. Yes. And the thing is we weren't on video, so no one got to see.
Oh,
right.
Oh man, that's right. Dude, I didn't think about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But dude, that just stuck in my head. When you said like, I went from rehabbing myself to rehabbing houses, like, damn, like that's just it's so powerful, man. It's so powerful.
You know, and we do wholesaling. It's not my focus. Like we try to do less of those. And, cause I really like closing. Mm. It's just the best. And the sellers are always happy. And,
take me back though. Take me back to, okay. So just a few minutes ago, you said like, I had $200,000 in the bank.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. So you had that 35 unit, right?
Yep.
And you had that $200,000. Like, was that like a pivotal moment for you, like in your career with this?
For sure.
That like, okay, now I have some cash. Now what can I do with it?
It was terrifying.
So take me through that, because it's not every day that everyone just all of a sudden now has 200 grand in cash, or even let's just call it 50 or 100, right? Yep. Like if me or somebody else or anyone in your position trying to do something similar, or somebody just starting out happens, you know, if somebody has like 50 or 100 grand or whatever it is, or did a deal and now all of a sudden they have this profit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, what did you do? Number one, what did you do with it? Right.
Yeah.
And, or what should you do with it? Not saying you didn't do the right thing with it. Right. Yeah. But like, what do you do?
Yeah. That's a great question. So the day that we got the money, I guess I have to go back just a little bit. I had done my first flip. I think I had bought it in like April that year. And no. It was in August that year. I'm sorry. So I bought it right around my birthday and I posted a picture of some keys and it's on my Instagram. And I think it was like big things coming or I don't know, something corny like that. Right. Like,
yeah.
And this is in
big 20, move.
Yeah. 2017. So I bought this house. I posted on my Instagram and the brokerage that I was with, I guess, saw that I didn't use the brokerage to buy this house. And I had found a private money partner to help buy this house and it was in Pittston. So close on this house. And I think he saw that I didn't use the brokerage to buy it. And I closed on my birthday, I think. It was like either my birthday or the day before, but the broker calls me and it happened to be my birthday. And we're talking and I think he was going to fire me, but he realized it was my birthday. Cause I think I might've said like, oh, like I'm just doing something for my birthday or something like that. So then he waits a week, calls me back and fires me like on the 22nd of August, you know? And I'm like, motherfucker, right?
Yeah. Oh my God.
For doing real estate. Right. Yeah, you know, but whatever. And like, I could see both sides of it, you know? So he fires me like a week later. And so I'm like, damn, like, guess I really got to do this investing thing, you know, like shit. And also like part of the challenge of being a realtor in the Valley here is like, you know, your median home price is 150,000. So 3% of that, which is being attacked, the 3% is not like it's negotiable and everyone's negotiating it, especially after the NAR settlement and everything going on. So even at 3%, that's $4,500. And the broker wants 30% of it, right? So you're giving him $450, no, 3x that, whatever, $1,300. So at the end of the day, you get $2,500, $3,000, whatever the number is. So it's like, man, you just get killed on the fees and you're working your butt off to get that. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise, because when you flip a property, you have the potential to make 10, 15, 20, 30,000 or more, right? If you get lucky on a deal. So anyways, buy this property, get fired, start renovating it because we had the apartment. So I had a crew that could do the work, whatever. I had a private money partner who was like helping fund it. And so then we do this refi September. So my portion was like 173,000 or something. So I get this money and I'm like, fuck, now what do I do? Like, I'm going to lose this. Like, because you know, the rule where it's like any money you have that's not set somewhere is going to disappear or whatever. Like, I knew that that was true. Like, I like spending money. I like doing cool stuff. So I got to like figure out what to do with this money to make it grow. So started doing direct mail and sent out some mail.
So there wasn't like one thing. There wasn't like, you're like, hey, I got this, I got 200 grand and this is what I'm putting it into.
I need to buy houses.
Okay. So you were just like, I need to buy houses.
Flip. Yep. Okay. Flip properties. So I had been learning for years, but I was like, I really need to like hone in on what I'm going to do. And so it was like, I'm going to flip properties. So, cause I had a crew, I had already been doing my first rehab and, I shouldn't have bought that house, but it was like, you know, it's like your cost of learning. I didn't lose money, but I made like $1,500 and it took me like four months, awful. Yeah. So I didn't lose though. And even if I lost, it was like, that's the cost of education.
Right. You know,
people go to school for 4 years and they won't learn the in-work training I learned.
And you learn that in 4 months.
Right. So it was super valuable. And it like primed the pump of like, okay, I understand the process. Cause that's, I think, what scares a lot of people. Like, how do I even get a property under contract? Or how do I send it to title? Who handles that? What, you know, and I was in real estate already, so I knew a lot of those pieces, but, it's all learnable, you know, like Bigger Pockets or whatever other podcast, you can learn all of it. So, I sent out mail with the intention of flipping properties. I actually had cash to buy them, like buy properties. And, I got calls, you know, and that was like awesome. So one person had inherited a property. He lived in Boston and his mom had passed away. It was a property in Mountaintop, pristine condition, whatever. And I'm still of the opinion that you always negotiate everything. So if someone gives you an offer, you have to negotiate it. If you don't, they're going to think that they undersold themselves. So even if you negotiate a closing date or $1,000 or a stupid repair, like leave the fridge, you have to negotiate something in a contract. Otherwise they're going to think they're not getting a deal. So, this guy said, I want, $61,000. And I'm like, I'll do 55. And he's like, 58. And I'm like, deal. So we signed the agreement, send it to title. His mom had passed away, left him the property. And, he was in Boston, so he didn't want to deal with it. He was also like heartbroken that his mom had died, didn't have the heart to like get rid of her stuff, which is pretty common actually. So like when someone inherits a property, they don't want to deal with throwing out jewelry.
Yeah. And what do we do with it? Do we keep it? Do we sell
it?
It's like,
and all of it's so heavy.
Yeah.
You know, and he had
too emotional.
Yeah. And he had just like, I'm gone. So then he got the mailer and was like, a solution. And that's my seller. Right. So we gave him an offer. He agreed to sell, get it under contract. I think I closed 30 days later, 20 days later, whenever the title was done. So I closed on it for $58,000. And he was a funny dude. Because I'm like, and I made a joke. This might be inappropriate.
You got to say it now.
But I'm like, and he was kind of like an older dude. He was like maybe like early 60s, late 50s or something, you know, but he was a little awkward. And I'm like, don't go to Vegas and spend it on hookers and blow or something like that. Like just a total offhand, not appropriate, like comment, you know? So then after we close, he calls me and he's like, hey, do you know when title's going to send the check or whatever? And like, I think they had maybe a wrong address or something, or he didn't give them the right wiring info. I don't remember what the thing was. I'm like, oh, like just call title. Like I know my money's there. They have your check or whatever. Like they have the money for you. So like they'll send it to you however you requested it to be sent. And so he literally says to me, he's like, you know, I was thinking about it. I think I might go to Vegas and do some hookers and blow. And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Get the hell out of here.
I swear to God, dude. I swear. I couldn't make that up, dude. But he's like, I think that's what I'm going to do. I'm like, no, dude, don't do that. Don't blow all the money. Like, come on.
Oh, my God.
It's so dumb. But, like, you know, it was just a funny, funny, like, memory from that. But that was, like, my first real
cash
win.
Yeah,
and, like, cash deal.
Yeah.
Then
what'd you do? You flipped it?
Yeah, so I bought it. We cleaned it out. Did a little bit of work to it. Put it back on the market. Sold it. We had like a cash offer, 3-week close, no inspection, and it was like $20,000 over asking price, and it was like $20,000 non-refundable. So if they didn't close the deal, then we'd get paid $20,000 and get to sell it again. So it was like a no-brainer. And then I was like, I fucking figured it out. Like, God damn it, this is going to be so easy. And then every deal after that was like a nightmare for like 6 months, dude.
But is it true though that like once you're kind of like in the game, like once you've done a few deals, like mm-hmm. as a real estate investor,
mm-hmm.
whatever your strategy is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it true that like kind of once you get one, then the next one is easier and the next one is easier?
It's just like with anything, you know, your first podcast episode compared to your fifth is dramatically better.
Sure.
Your fifth from your 50th, night and day.
Yeah.
You know, and like that's just the progression of learning. And I try to learn on every deal. So like what went right, what went wrong.
What's the best thing you've ever learned?
It's really about people and like we have to care about the person. There was one property or seller, I guess. She had two properties and her husband had passed away. They were separated and so made an offer on both properties because there was two of them. One of them had been like converted to a dentist's office and the other one was a property in Mountaintop. The other one was here in Edwardsville. So closed on both of them and they were up for auction like 3 or 4 weeks after signing, right? So it's like time is of the essence. Get them under contract and we're moving towards closing. I'm getting my bids. I'm doing everything to flip the properties. And then my title company reaches out and they're like, hey, just a heads up. She has a Department of Revenue lien with the state of Pennsylvania from her late husband for $45,000.
Oh.
So I think my purchase price for both properties was $100,000. And this is like 2019. So like the prices have obviously changed or whatever. So I was $100,000 for both. And I think it was like 65-35, I think was the split. But it was $100,000 total if my mind serves me correctly. So that was our price to buy it. Well, when we got the Department of Revenue thing back, she was set to get, you know, $50,000 at closing or $40,000 at closing. Well, now that these Department of Revenue liens popped up, she was negative.
Oof.
Like $7,000 or $8,000. I don't remember the number, but it was significant. So I looked through my bids, checked to see where I could shave some stuff off. And then basically I raised my offer to help cover her costs because the hard part about this one was the auction deadline was drawing nearer every day as we were trying to figure this out. So if we didn't close and buy the properties and pay off that Department of Revenue lien, when the properties sold at auction, likely for less than what I was paying, she would have been stuck with the Department of Revenue liens after the properties sold, which she would have had to pay that out of pocket.
Yikes.
And no properties.
Yikes.
So she would have lost everything plus had $45,000 from her separated late husband. So it was like, man, we really gotta help. And like, what's the best thing? Like, I think about sellers, like, how would I want a buyer to treat my mom? And that's the frame of mind I try and operate in because I wouldn't want some sleaze bag to come and beat my mom up on price to where she's not getting anything. In this situation, the seller walked away with no money, but that was the very, very best that we could do for her.
It could have been so much worse.
And she was so grateful, like crying, giving me a hug. Thank you so much because I literally didn't know what to do. And like, that's the most important thing is like, how do we actually help? And there's a lot of sellers that we say like, hey, I can't do the price that you want. Like, I'm sorry. Like, we can't buy every house. We'll buy the house if the numbers can make sense for us, but we have to be able to make a profit for us to stay in business. So thankfully it worked out. And, you know, we were able to buy the house, fix them up. They became beautiful again. And, you know, the cool thing too is like we rehab the houses and like, one of the coolest calls I ever got though was, I get a call random one day and this person's like, hey, is this Josh? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I got your number from Bill Eck. And I'm like, Bill Eck? Who the hell's Bill Eck? And so I'm like on the phone with this person, like, okay, yeah, like, what's going on? You know, they're like, oh, he said you buy houses. I'm like, I absolutely buy houses. I'm like, I need to call Bill Eck. Who the heck is this?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out he was like the Kingston Township code enforcement officer, and he had been seeing the properties that I had been remodeling. He referred a seller to me because he liked that I was improving the community overall by buying these dilapidated rundown houses, putting hard-earned money into them, rebuilding them up, and then putting them back on the market for a family to live in. You know, like, that's huge, you know? So that was a really cool call. Like,
that's a win.
Like, holy shit, man. I didn't even know the code enforcement, like, knew what I was doing, yeah, you know? Like, right, obviously yeah. We pull permits and stuff.
Sure, but yeah,
like,
but they're paying attention.
Yeah, but for them to see, like, wow, these guys actually do good work and they improve the community so much so that when a property is not meeting code,
they know who to call.
We're going to send the number to these guys. Like,
yeah.
That was like, man, we're doing something right yeah. here, you know? Hell yeah. yeah. Doing good for the community. You yeah. know? And that's fun. You
yeah.
know, it's awesome.
What's next on the horizon?
Yeah. I mean, we're really focused on buying a lot of houses. I think right now,
how many did you buy last year?
49 houses. So bought and sold 49. I think there were some rentals in there too.
And what's the goal for this year?
150.
So, triple.
Yeah.
Triple them down.
Yeah.
I love it.
Hey, I read 10X, not 2X. It's a great book. If you haven't read it.
I have.
Okay.
I have.
2X wasn't big enough. And it's like just more work. But 3X is like, I have to hire more people, which I've done. And I think the goal is big enough that it gets everyone excited. So 150 is the goal. But I'm less focused on just the number. It's like, I hope that we can advertise and get our name out there to enough people where 150 people trust us to sell one of their biggest assets to us, and that we can offer a number that makes sense to them. It's not going to work for everyone. But we get a lot of sellers who just say, hey, if you can pay me this amount of money, if you can pay me 40 grand for this property, like,
it's yours.
It's yours.
Yeah.
And we've had people that literally say, like, I'll sign the deed over and I'll pay some delinquent taxes if you just take it. You know, it's like, all right, well, we'll get you some money. We'll cover the taxes, whatever. Like, just because someone needs to sell, we're not going to be, you know, overly aggressive to where it's not fair. Like, we try to make sure that
it's
someone walks away like, yeah, man, they really
feeling like they got something.
They really took care of me, you know? And like, we've helped people pay for movers. You know, we've done a lot of good things for people. Like, we pride ourselves on helping the community and helping sellers out of tough, massive challenges in real estate, where the problem of the property is bigger than the problem of money. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like tenants that need to be evicted or squatters. I mean, dude, we've dealt with all of
it. You've probably seen it all, right?
Yeah, yeah. And some houses are just like, unfortunately, since our median home value is only 150, there's some houses, 150,000 of rehab isn't going to make it worth 150. It'll be worth 100 after $150,000 worth of rehab.
It's crazy, yeah.
So it's like, there's some houses that are too far gone. But if you have a house that you need to sell, call us and we'll help you and walk you through it and show you the numbers of, this is the price that we need to pay. This is how we arrived at this price. If that's fair for you, this offer is good for today. And, you know, we recently changed where we had offers good for 7 days. But what we found is our marketing has grown so much that we have to actually limit that, because I don't want to commit to 20 people in a week. Hey, I'll buy your house. Here's an offer. Yeah. And then 15 of them sign. We're like, shit. All right. Well, we don't have enough crews for all these houses. Yeah, yeah. So what do we, you know, and that's where like wholesaling a couple of them would come in.
Okay.
You know, the primary exit strategy for us is going to be the flip, but if we can't, you know, we'll try and partner with someone else or, you know, joint venture, things like that. But, we have to limit it to like, hey, you got to get me an answer today or tomorrow at the latest. And typically we tell them the same day, because we're going to make more offers today.
Yeah, you're making moves, man.
We're going to make more offers tomorrow. And
you got to keep going.
We're limited. Yeah, you know, like we don't have unlimited bankrolls.
Time is of the essence here.
If I had unlimited bankrolls, I wouldn't be doing this anymore. You know, it's so fun. But there's other things I would be doing. You know? And, you know, so that's one goal. And then building up the rental portfolio still is always a goal. And then I think coming soon, hopefully this year, I think we're going to break into property management. So managing other people's rental units. We've done really well. We have 52 units currently. We have no vacancies. All of our tenants were not delinquent. So I think that's pretty good for 52 units.
Pretty damn good.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that those are the two biggest hurdles. And then we have a maintenance wait time of like less than 3 days. So like anytime there's a tenant who has a request, we can get to it within 3 days. So I feel like we've got a system dialed in enough that we can bring on other people's rental units, but I'm waiting for my gal Courtney to get her broker's license. So Courtney, when you're ready, I'm ready. Let's do this.
Let's go, Courtney. That's so awesome.
That's what's coming.
Yeah. Congrats, man.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Thank you.
Yeah. So before we end though, like if somebody wants to get started in real estate themselves, mm-hmm. like not as a real estate.
Figure it out. Right? No, I'm just kidding.
Good luck, bitch. Yeah. like what does somebody do? Where does somebody start? Cause I think that's like one of the biggest things.
You know,
obviously I've dipped my toes a little bit into real estate myself, but, you know, for people,
which I'm really proud of you.
Yeah. Thank you.
You've done a lot.
I mean, thanks.
This building. Great job.
Yeah.
You're really killing it.
Thanks, bro. So like, so where does somebody start?
Yeah, I would, you know, funny enough, we're actually hosting a meetup tomorrow night, which when this
it'll be passed,
it'll be passed,
but you'll be doing more of them.
Yep. And I think we're going to aim for monthly. So we'll do a monthly.
I got to come to one. If I don't come tomorrow, I'm definitely coming.
They're fun. We also we partner with other people too. So if there is like a construction crew or something, like we can partner with them to help them get started. If there is someone who's new, like as far as resources go, there are a million podcasts out there. I found that my best strategy and learning came from listening to Bigger Pockets. That was like when I started listening
to that one after I had you on.
When I got into when I started in property management, and when I did, I'm like, man, these guys are making $500 a month. How do I buy houses? So I Googled, how do I buy rentals? Bigger Pockets came up. So I like checked it out. So my key advice, listen to Bigger Pockets, find someone that you like and you aspire to be. And then they probably have their own podcast. At least most of the people on Bigger Pockets have their own podcast, the cross promotion kind of deal, whatever.
Yeah.
But I found a couple people that I'm like, I really vibe with how they operate, how they do business. I'm going to listen to their podcast. And then they got into the nitty gritty details of like, this is what you should do. This is how you send mail. This is, you know, some people are big into cold calling. Like it's a great way to get started. You get a lot of no's. You have to be hungry. When you get a yes though, it's like the heavens open, you know?
Yeah.
So like figure out the strategy that you vibe with the most and then listen to podcasts that mirror that strategy and then just pick your strategy and figure it out and know that you're not going to get rich in real estate overnight, but eventually you will get rich. That's always been my thing, is like, it's not get rich quick. It's get rich for sure.
Get rich for sure. I like that.
Yeah. So like I always have told that to people, like if you're going to get in real estate, don't do it to get rich quick. Do it to get rich for sure. Because eventually with a long enough hold period, the value of real estate goes up high enough to where you will be rich. It may take 100 years.
Yeah,
if you
overpay. It may take your whole lifetime, right? But yeah. But you're creating generational wealth at that point.
100%. You know, you buy one property per year for the next 30 years. Assuming you get 30-year mortgages, every year after that, on the 31st year, one of those mortgages will get paid off. And the value of those properties will have gone up, hopefully.
Right. A lot. Yeah.
But now your cash flow jumps every year for the next 30 years after that. So it's a get rich for sure, because now you have all of this equity in these properties. The rents will have likely doubled from the time you bought them. So you're cash flowing massive, and then you're starting to pay off all these assets. So let's say you start when you're 30, 61, the first property pays off, 62, the second, and so on until you're 90. But then when you're 90, let's say you die at 95, what do you leave to your family? 30 properties paid off free and clear that are cash flowing. That sounds
pretty
cool.
Talk about assets.
Yeah. Like, that's your family's, like, you know, hopefully they don't squander it, you know.
Yeah, hopefully they don't take it to Vegas or whatever.
Hookers and blow.
don't do that.
But the rent should be high enough that you could, you know. Yeah, right. You're going to get paid next month too, right?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, don't do being that. In recovery, terrible idea.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Definitely don't do that. How can, you know, is there, I mean, okay. So you have these meetups, you're looking to hopefully do them monthly, right?
Yeah.
Can people learn besides them? I mean, can people learn from you?
Yeah. I mean, I don't make a point of like teaching unless it's to the people that are on my team.
Sure.
It's just kind of general. Yeah. We're always looking for talent. And I'm always happy to try and help people that are getting started, at least point them in the right direction. My email is josh@makemeacashoffer.com. So I can be reached there. You can also go to our website, NEPA Cash Offer. There's a contact us section where you could submit info. But, you know, learn yourself, you know, like teach yourself enough to be dangerous and then come to me. One of my pet peeves is when someone's like, hey, I'd really love to get into real estate. And I point them in the right direction, give them all these stuff, and then I never hear from them again. It's like, I should have charged you $500 for you to not do anything. Because if you had paid $500, maybe you'd be willing to actually put some
action. You would have done. You would have,
right.
Take some action.
You know,
steps.
It's like if I offer this advice for free and then it's not valued, it's like, it feels frustrating to me because, like, I would have killed to have someone like me point me in the right direction.
Right.
So, anyways, but get some learning. And, you know, there's enough for everyone to eat. You know, real estate's cool. I want to dominate, but, you know, there's enough.
Yeah. Yeah. there's enough to go around.
Oh, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but it's fun. I mean, you get to deal with sellers, you get to help them out. Get to make a few bucks. So it's cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time.
This is fun, man.
Yeah. It's always a pleasure, man. You're awesome.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier and I just vibe with you, dude.
Likewise, man.
There's not a lot of people that I feel like I can share with openly and it's not like bragging, you know?
Yeah. Like, you don't have to justify it by like saying, oh, like I know, but you know right. what I mean? You could just share.
Yeah. And you're a positive and motivating person. Where it's like, I feel better being around you. And there's not a lot of people that do that. You know, like,
Thank you.
I try to bring those people into my world and into my like sphere because so many people are just negative all the time. Like, who has time for that?
Yeah.
You know, like, dude, we're here for a short time.
Yeah.
Let's make it good.
Right.
You know?
Right. So. And same thing here, man. Like, that's, I'm kind of building exactly what you just said. Like, the people that I have on the show, I mean, you're a testament to that too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, not to repeat back what you just said, but very similar where, you know, the guests on this show and all the people that I surround myself with now more so than ever, it's like, I don't want those people around me. Like I want people like you around me, you know, people that are, you know, have some value, bring some value to the table, right? No pun intended, but just like, are just positive and just like, you know, we're adding value to each other's lives. We're not just shooting the shit. We're not just doing this. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like we're doing it for a purpose.
For sure.
You know, and that's, I think that's what's important. And, you know, there's nothing I hate more than when people waste my time.
It's the worst.
You know?
I know.
Like, don't have time for that, literally, right? Yeah. Like, it's just, oh, boy, is that frustrating.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
I love it.
I'm feeling good.
Your health stuff
Yeah.
taken care of?
Yeah. Knock on wood, man. Yeah. I'm feeling all right.
Good.
Yeah. Back in the game.
I love it.
Yeah, not that I was ever out, but yeah. You know, took a little time off, obviously.
Yeah, you're just pumping the brakes a little.
Just pumped the brakes a little, you know, life got shaken up a little bit, but hey.
It's a recentering.
It is. It was a total reset, man. Yeah. It was like, literally.
And you want to talk about cutting bullshit out of your life? Something like that is the quickest way to be like, that was not important. Like some of the things I was doing or people I was associating with, like,
yeah,
you really like recenter on what's important. So,
yeah.
You know, not that I'm happy that happened to you.
No, yeah, not, no, but at the same time, like sometimes it takes, not, I don't want to say your whole life to crumble to be able to restart or rebuild or build, you know, to build the life that you want.
But, yeah, you're smarter than me. Mine had to fall apart completely.
So. Literally, yeah. Yeah. But like, you know what? Those always make for the best stories. And those always make for, you know, you come back 10 times, you come back 10 times better.
Yeah.
Like you do. I mean, and you literally are the perfect.
Thanks,
man. Your story, man. It's like,
it's not about getting knocked down, baby. It's about getting up.
That's right. And you know, how fast, how hard you get back up, you know?
Brother.
So man, I appreciate it. And I know I've said this before, but I enjoy being in the same room with people like you, because it makes me better.
Yeah.
It makes me a better person personally, professionally. So
same.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
We just become best friends.
I think so. Don't touch my drum set. Yeah. I just asked my wife the other day. I forget what it was, but I pissed her off with something. And then I was like, did you touch my drum set? She just gave me this look. Oh my God. When she watches it, she's going to laugh her ass off because I just kept saying it. Kind of like, you touch my drum set?
Why are y'all
like,
sweaty?
Enough. Yeah.
I was watching Cops.
Yeah. Oh my God. Too good.
It's the best.
Well, Josh, like I said, I appreciate you coming on and I'm looking forward to, like I said, if I don't get to the one tomorrow, I'm looking forward to it. As long as you're going to continue to do them,
absolutely.
I want to check them out. Actually, somebody else reached out to me and mentioned it.
Oh, cool.
And was like, do you want to go to that with me? I'm like, yeah, we can, you know, we'll check it out. Okay. Yeah, so
cool.
I might be bringing, I'll recruit a couple people to come.
Love it.
Yeah, right. Man. Yeah. So, so you're in once a month, pretty much.
At least. Yeah. I mean, I may miss a month here or there, depending on the schedules and stuff, but I do have a team here all the time. So I think my presence is here. And I'm always thinking about NEPA. And by the way, Phoenix is awesome, but I love it here. Like, I know a lot of people who are from here.
Shit on it, yeah.
Dude, NEPA is so great. Your cost of living is low. You're close to everything. Like in Phoenix, for me to... Okay, so I live here in Kingston, right? We can walk to Manning's Dairy. We can get ice cream. We can walk home. I have to walk like 45 minutes to get to an ice cream place in Phoenix. Like, it's a different world here, and it's a little bit...
Plus, it's too damn hot out there, probably.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Your ice cream's melted by the time you walk out the door. But, like, there really is something special. And to go somewhere and know someone is a really cool thing. And so, by, you know, always being your best self wherever you go and being friendly and uplifting, man, this place is the best. Cause you go somewhere and you know someone everywhere you go. I mean, you must have it all the time. You're a celebrity now.
Yeah, pretty
you're a celebrity now,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah.
But isn't that the best?
Dude? It is.
Like,
I
got off the flight the last time I was here and I saw like the owner of LSEO and he's like, "Hey man, been a while." And I'm like, "You too, dude. Like, how crazy is this?"
I feel like everywhere I go, and the go-to line, by the way, and I'm not offended by it. Like, it's actually funny to me. But everywhere I go, whenever it happens almost every day now when I'm out somewhere, somebody will come up to me, tap me on the shoulder, and say, "This is the same line that everybody says." You ready? Are you the On the Stacks guy? That's it. That's the line.
That's branding, brother.
That's the
line. I love it.
That's the line. Literally, everyone goes. We were in the delivery room having Sophia three months ago, and the nurse turns around. She goes, I swear to God, turns around. She goes, "Are you the On the Stacks guy?" I'm not even joking. Not kidding.
That's incredible.
Not kidding.
You're a celebrity. That's so badass.
Just happened the other day, too. And like, and it was somebody, and he was looking for help with something. Like, you know, maybe come like a client here in some fashion. But literally came up to me. I was out at lunch, actually with another client.
Yeah.
He comes up, taps me on the shoulder, turn around. And I look at him. And whenever that happens, before he even said anything, I turn around and I look at him and I don't recognize him. Yeah. And I'm panicking, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, shit, this guy knows who I am. He remembers me, but I don't remember him. But I actually didn't even know him. But
yeah.
So I turn around and, of course, the famous first line, he goes, you're the On the Stacks guy, right?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, I just got to tell you blah, blah, blah. And then he started asking some questions. He's like, hey, can we meet, whatever? And, you know, so we exchange some information. And, you know, now we're meeting this week.
It literally
just happened like last week. He's like,
that's so, you know, cool.
So, it's cool, man. Like, it really is cool to see, and it's nice to see, like, it actually is having an impact.
Oh, for sure.
You know? It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun as hell.
What you say and do matters.
It does.
And that's really cool.
Yeah. And
you're making people better and connecting people, and, like, you're making a difference.
Yeah.
That's
incredible. Crazy. Yeah. Not that I didn't think I ever would or that this would ever happen, but, like, you know, you really think, like, you know, just, I guess just, it depends on where you're at in life, but a lot different points of life, people often probably question themselves, like, mm-hmm. am I making a difference?
Oh, for sure.
Is what I'm doing really helping anyone?
Does it matter?
And it's like, does it matter? What am I doing all this for?
Yeah.
You know, and like, even though, you know, I've been doing this now for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and like, again, not that up until now, this isn't the first time saying like, okay, now I'm like really making a difference, but like now it's like, it's even more apparent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because it's happening so much more now and so much faster and on such a bigger level, which is really, really cool to see.
I think the coolest part is you've taken what was up here and you've made it all of this.
Yeah.
And more. And everywhere else. And all the other stuff you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the cool. Like, your vision is real.
Yeah.
So, like, what else can you dream of?
I know. This is, like, I always say, this is just the beginning.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning.
Just getting started. Same here.
Hell yeah. All right. Josh Axe, On the Stacks. Thanks for joining me.
You too, brother.
If you want to see more On the Stacks content, subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/onthestackspodcast or search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.